Is there a clicker? Okay. Thank you, Way of Jesus, right? Way of Jesus Church. I have always been blessed by the name of your fellowship here and the name of your school. And thank you for just those of you that are involved in the school. Thank you for being who, what you are. Yvonne and I watched your fundraiser the other, was that a month ago or so? And was just really blessed by that. And of course, Karita's been involved in the school here for a number of years now. And just thank you. Thank you for being who God has called you to be here in the city. And you know, I really believe that if I were to come back here 5 years from now, your church is going to be probably twice this size. I don't see how what you're doing here cannot grow. It's going to grow. And I just praise God for that. And I know that there are many other life-giving churches in the city and around, but God is here, and I sense his presence here today. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I had asked Pastor Dale how much time you usually have for messages, and he said typically about 3 hours, so looking forward to this. I am concerned that I'm not going to be able to get through. And so I think we're all eating here, right? And so you won't chase me out if I go a little bit over 30 minutes? Okay. I do have some handouts here. Do you have an usher? Is that the guy that's up and around there? give one of these to... I think I made 25, and this also. Maybe I'll keep one of those too. I think I made 25 copies. Whatever. Is that enough if I made 25 copies? Maybe one per couple or whatever. Part of my problem here this morning is I would like to preach two messages. And Yvonne and I are getting married next Saturday. And so I just wanted to preach on marriage, you know. Plus, two of our staff members are getting married a month later, and I'm supposed to officiate their marriage. And then I've got my cousin's niece. I'm supposed to speak at her wedding coming up in June, and so I'm all about marriage these days, and I wanted to speak about marriage, but then Steve was at Bethel. I spoke at Bethel on marriage a month or so ago, and Steve Jr. was there, and so I didn't want him to have to listen to this stuff twice, and so... But I am going to give you... one of the handouts I'm giving you is Yvonne and I's declarations in marriage that we're looking forward to doing together, our goals in serving each other as husband and wife coming up. And don't spend a lot of time, I don't want to distract you with that right now, but later you can go over this. She helped me tweak this several years ago, a number of years ago. One of our staff, got married and asked me to write their vows or whatever. And so that's when I originally wrote this. But in looking forward to our wedding, Yvonne helped me tweak it a little bit. So I think that's really cool. And anyways, that you can just fold that and put it in your Bible for later or whatever. I want to talk this morning, let's see, about three critical concepts for the church. But before that, I'd like to introduce you a little bit. This is the city of Los Angeles. I'm not used to having three things. Can you see it okay? So I'm supposed to look at that one, right? So I don't need to do this. Yeah. That's the city of Los Angeles. Beautiful city. I love Los Angeles. It's home to me. Has been for the last 13 years. And if you come, we love people that love Los Angeles. And we love other people too, but. So please come to Los Angeles sometime and visit us. Some of you have. I've recognized some of you. Where's Malin? He was out there, and Dale, you haven't been there, but your brother, Mike has been there several times. Anyways, this is Los Angeles. Let's see. Does that work, clicking? Oh, maybe you turn it on, huh? Oh, there it is. Okay. And if you can come to Los Angeles, come at night and fly in at night, and this is kind of how you'll get to see the city. And anyway, I can't spend too much time here because we need to keep going. Is this just slow or am I slow? Gotta press it. Oh, there we go. That's Rachel and I and our family like 13 years ago. And that's the skyline behind us there. I'm not sure. Must be something wrong with my thumb. There we go. That's Carita. You know her, right? She's our oldest. That's Marcel and Krista and their two boys and little Magdalena Rachel. Was born, she's a year old now. They live in Philly. He's a registered nurse there. I'm not used to clickers that don't work. How do what? Okay. Am I not aiming it at the right place or something? This is Asher. Some of you probably know Asher. How many follow him on his blog or have read his blog? Some. Asher and Teresa. And they actually have a little girl now too, Avalon, who's was just born this past September. Asher used to be known as my son. Now I'm known as Asher's father. This is Christy, and I promise you she did get up before the train came on the tracks. That's also her with a couple of her friends. Are you forwarding this or am I?
Well, I think I am. I'm not sure why it's not working.
Okay. Do you want my clicker? I have a clicker. Would that work? It. Christy, again, she's also a registered nurse. She practices in Los Angeles. She practices at the hospital, the closest to the airport, LAX. So if you're coming in at night and you have a crash, she might end up being your nurse. her hospital is the one that has all the contingency plans for the airport and so forth. Okay, you can advance beyond that, especially that ugly man on the right there. I'm sorry. Yvonne gives me a cross-eyed look. Most of you, I think, are probably aware of our family story and losing Rachel 8 years ago. And this is Christopher. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, are we working now? Ah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. This is my favorite picture of Christopher. I just love him very much. He is our youngest, and he actually lives in Philly now too with Marcel and Krista. And works at the meat market there. What is it called? The Philly
Reading Terminal.
Yep. So he's always sending us pictures of their delicious meats and sandwiches that he's made and stuff. Oops. Now we're back to this. Okay. That's him again. He loves photography. That's up above the city of Los Angeles, the Hollywood Hills. Oops. Yeah, that's our family a year ago. Well, this is maybe a couple years ago. We have some another little grandson and the two little granddaughters since that picture. Oops. Yeah, it's not working again. I'm sorry. Just maybe if I just, what do I do? Give you an indicator. Here they are again. This is a few years ago, the five children. Okay. And this is the new phase. This is Yvonne and I. And how many of you got our wedding announcement a few weeks ago? Did you get it? Or it was on Facebook, and then I sent it out by email. These are just the pictures that were on there. Yeah, so this is an amazing new phase of my life. And the last 8 years have been very lonely. She has a story as well. How many of you knew Yvonne at all before? Somewhat. She lost her husband to leukemia 10 months into their marriage. Never celebrated the first anniversary. And so, yeah, when we sing this song about, what was it about?
You
give and you take away, the Lord. And Job said, yeah, what did he say? The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Either way, he is blessed. And so we know that story a little bit. And he is blessed. And yeah, while it's been a journey, a wilderness experience these last 8 years, Yvonne has brought more sunshine into my life in these last 4 months than I've had for a long time. And it's just like, we just need to get married. So next Saturday we're getting married. We didn't quite elope. She suggested eloping, but we didn't quite do that. Anyway, talking on the couch there, making wedding plans. Okay. This is her apartment, and so I'm going to be moving in with her after our honeymoon. We're going to the Honeymoon Hills in Smoky Mountains, Tennessee. How many of you have honeymooned there before? Any of you couples did that? Okay. So we found a nice cabin there that we're going to spend a week in. Then we'll come back and I'll move in with her into her apartment. Her brother owns that main floor and then she rents the space above it. Anyways, let's move on. That's our marriage license. Just prove it there. Next. This is the little chapel right there in Guy's Mills, just down the hill from her house where the wedding is going to be. It's just going to be a small, private, COVID-conscious wedding at this point. And then in July, mid-July, July 17th, circle it on your calendar and come celebrate with us in a more larger way. Hopefully the restrictions will be lifted by then, and if they're not, we'll probably still do it. Okay, next. I talked about that already. Thank you. Okay, three critical concerns. Let's get into this message. You know, it seems like your church is doing well here. I mean, I've heard good things. Karita mostly attends down at Life Fellowship, but I think she's been here a time or two, and she has some friends down there. But if you've been involved in church, I haven't always gotten along well with these earpieces, so if I do weird things, it's because of that. If you've been involved in church at all, you've probably been through some church problems, right? Maybe some splits. You know, so a number of years ago, I was so burdened by some of this that I, you know, began to pray and just ask God, there's got to be some solution to this. And he laid these three critical concepts on my heart. And so I've been talking about this for quite a while. I wish I could say that it, in our fellowship, has solved all problems, and we never have any more problems. That's not true, but we still do. But the first one we want to look at is the the whole concept of sequence, keeping first things first. And I gave you these little drawings, and we don't want to spend too much time on each one so that we cover them. Usually I do the first two, and then I rush through the third one. And that whole concept of balance is so important too. But let's look at the first one here, sequence, keeping first things first. And I take this basically out of the book of Genesis, those first early chapters in Genesis, where you're familiar with the story where you have these two trees in Genesis 2 and 3, and there's the tree of life, and there's also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said that you can eat from any tree in the garden, and there are many trees there, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat of that tree, because if you do, what happens? You will surely die. That's a promise, one of God's first promises out the gate in Genesis. You eat from the tree of knowledge, and you will surely die. Does that mean he doesn't like knowledge? No, you can read Proverbs, and later the proverb writer says, get wisdom, get knowledge, get understanding. And so it's not that God's not approving of knowledge, but God is so into life. He is the originator of life. He is the creator of life. And he just knows that first things must come first. And so we have here the tree of life. This is the place of feasting. They were never told they couldn't eat from the tree of life. It was the tree of knowledge that they couldn't eat from. And there were those two main trees, but then there were many trees. So the tree of life is the place of feasting. That's where we feast. That's what we were doing here. It's a place of worship. And it's so appropriate that we have worship before teaching, because our hearts are just turned to God, and our arms are open, our hearts are open, our minds are open to God in worship as we agree with him about who he is, and just we worship him and we praise him, we thank him, we're so grateful, and we're like this before God. And then comes the pastor, and I really wish I could hear Pastor Dale preach sometime. So sometime I'm going to sneak back and listen to him preach. It is so important that we hear God's word and his truth, but our hearts need to be open. And so that's why the tree of life comes first. It's a place of worship. Worship opens our hearts, and then we receive the knowledge, and we hear the stuff about God, and that's the place of following. But we can do it. We can accept it. We can, because our hearts have been opened in worship. Deuteronomy 30 there, oh, that you would choose life, that you and your families might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. God is our life. I love the discussion this morning, the Sunday school discussion, taking some. That's all living stuff, because it's about God and he is our life. So the tree of life is a place of worship. The tree of knowledge is a place of obedience. It's where the following happens. And notice the little highlighted section. Worship is the path to obedience. So if we want to get people to obey God, we first have to teach them how to worship God. And as they learn to worship God and their hearts are open before God. I still remember Hike and Brianna coming to Christ a year and a half ago. And I had been on a 40-day fast and was hiking. I like to hike. That's one thing Yvonne and I like to do together is hike. And by the way, this guy's name is Hike. It's a Armenian name. It's a common name in the Armenian communities, Hike and Brianna. And so I'm sitting there at the 7-Eleven. My scooter's parked, and I've gotten a bottle of water, and I'm just drinking this water. And kind of sitting there on this high curb, and I sense somebody came around the corner of the building, and they never really got past me. And that kind of makes you nervous, you know, you're sitting there. And so I began to, oh, and there's this couple sitting over here. And just as I kind of discovered them, he kind of leaned forward and he said, could you spare 50 cents? He said, I'm 50 cents short of a beer. So being a good pastor, I got 50 cents for his beer. Right? Is that what you do? At first I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't think I... And then about that time I reached in my pocket and realized I had quite a bit of change. And so I pulled everything out that I had. It was a little over a dollar. Gave it to him. And I began to speak to him. And that's the wonderful thing about fasting. If you've never fasted, especially if you've never fasted for an extended period of time, it has a way of just kind of opening your spirit. Some people talk about getting mentally alert during a fast. I don't know that I feel mentally alert as much as I just feel spiritually alert. And I just began to talk to him and said, you know, you have this beautiful lady with you. I'm sure she would love if you would make wise choices in life. And he's just going like this, you know. I said, no, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. And I just began to talk about the values of the Lord. And eventually she took the money, went in and got some stuff and came out with a bag of groceries and some beer. And so I made out to, they really seemed open. And so I made out that I would meet them the next, well, that was a Friday. We had a men's retreat that weekend. Monday I was going to come to their house at 4:30. And we continued this conversation. And so Monday at 4:30, I went to their house, and there was Hike. And so I'm getting to this point here. But Brianna wasn't there. And he said, she's heard enough of this stuff. You know, okay. So he was there, and I began to continue to talk to him. And to make a long story short, he ended up just raising his hands like this and just praying and inviting Jesus into his heart that night. Beautiful, just a beautiful way, just opening his heart. And we continued to talk, and of course he had shared some of his struggle with addictions and so forth, and I knew that this is not somebody that you say, okay, let's do this every week, I'll meet you again next. No, you have to connect with those kind of people daily. By the way, connection is the opposite of addiction. You're trying to help somebody with addictions, connect. Connection is the opposite of addiction. And when people lose that sense of connection, then that's when they're tempted to substitute with stuff. So I said, well, I'm going to come back tomorrow evening, same time, 4:30, but don't tell Brianna I'm coming, because I want her to be here too. And so at 2:30 the next afternoon, I get this text message from Hike, and he said, Brianna and I are both looking forward to you coming. So he had already spilled the beans. But she was there. And that night, she prayed to receive Christ. And I can't tell you all of the story. It was an ongoing struggle. I mean, he has addictions. These are chemical addictions. So many times what gets people into addiction doesn't just, you know, isn't totally solved the moment they receive Christ, because it's a complicated process. But he always had this heart open, and he would sometimes say, Brianna, you know, you just got to have more faith in God. You got to have more faith in God. And so that was in October last year, May of this year, early Saturday morning, he went outside the house and dropped dead on the sidewalk. And I think it was an overdose. I don't know, but I think it probably was an accidental overdose. But I know he's with the Lord today, because his heart was always just so open, still struggling with the stuff of the soul, you know. But at as we visited, Pastor Jose and Anna and I visited with her, she would say things like, yeah, Hike always had such faith in God. I just wish I could have the same strong faith that he had. And as we're praying with her, Anna laid her hands on her and started praying with her. She said, he just flew into me. I felt him fly into me. Oh, man. Oh, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. This is better than any high I've ever had. And I think the Holy Spirit, she felt the Holy Spirit overwhelm her. And her story continues, but he is with the Lord in heaven. I could tell you more about that story. The only reason I was in that place was because I had an accident on my scooter, and the Lord had to throw me against the car and wound my ribs in order to meet Hike and Brianna. But anyhow, that's another story. Sequence. Worship is the path to obedience. We are beings of longing. We long for God. We're disciples in learning. Okay? So we feast at the tree of life, the place of worship, and we follow the tree of knowledge. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Opposite. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The sequence matters, you notice? He didn't say Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. He said Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Sequence matters. Jesus said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. He didn't say in truth and in spirit. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. It's all about keeping first things first. And I can tell that you're doing that here at Way of Jesus. It's the way of Jesus. Okay, number two, focus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Let's see. That's the next slide there. Thank you. I'm gonna go through some of this more in detail, but let me just focus on the focus. So let's say this is a target, okay, and you're shooting at the target. Okay, what should you be aiming at? What should you be focused on? Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what Paul said. Paul said, I refuse to know anything among you believers there at Corinth save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, did he care about anything else? He wrote nearly half of the New Testament. He wrote about marriage. He wrote about child training. He wrote about finances. He wrote about many different things. But his focus was on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is, he was fixed on that cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, just like a laser beam. And so I think we can illustrate what he's saying here by this series of circles. So that was what he was focused on. And focus matters. You know, if I'll focus on this light switch over here. Okay, I'm focused on the light switch. I see it quite clearly because I am farsighted. If I was nearsighted, it would probably, but I'm farsighted. So I see the light switch quite focused. I see this brother here. He's got a blue shirt on. He's not real focused. You know, I see people all the way over here. I can see this window. You know, so there's a peripheral to vision as well, and you do need peripheral vision. If you don't have a peripheral vision, if all you have is focus, that's called tunnel vision. And have you ever walked around with tunnel vision? You know, you all you can see is straight ahead of you, and you end up bumping into stuff because you can't see what's around it. So peripheral matters, but what we're talking about is focus. And so his focus was on Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but he certainly appreciated the central surrounding truths, and we could list some of those, you know, maybe baptism, certainly spirit baptism, but even water baptism, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the virgin birth, you know, those are very important truths that are very close to the focus. They're not what you focus on. You don't focus on, you know, the Trinity necessarily. You focus on Jesus Christ. Very close to that is the rest of the Godhead. You know, and so but they're very close truths. Baptism is important. Some believe it's so important that you may not be saved unless you're baptized. That's not where I'm at, but that shows how close baptism, repent and be baptized. It's very close to the central truth of Jesus Christ and crucified. Then you get beyond that, we have the whole thing of interpretation. And interpretation is when you read a passage, and you read it, what it says in the black and white letters of your Bible. And the moment you say, this means, you have entered into interpretation. So it's one thing. Even, you know, I could talk about the Bible here, and it's a beautiful subject. I just want to remind you, though, that we do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible. We worship Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible is very important, but we don't worship the Bible. Someone has said, the pastor from London, I forget his name, he wrote some books. He said, some people's Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. That's not the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We treasure the Bible. We believe it's inspired of God, but we do not worship it. If I need to, I don't like to, but if I needed to reach something, I might take my Bible and stand on it just to gain the height I needed. The Mormons or the Muslims would not do that to their holy book. That's not what the Bible is to us. The Bible is a compilation of God's word and God's messages. We worship the God of the Bible, not the Bible. Very important. So, interpretation. What we read, we accept it, we believe it, we choose to believe it, and we say, this is what it means. And we as Mennonites, we interpret passages that we appreciate and I believe are good. Someone was asking me recently what I believe the best mode of baptism is. I really believe pouring is the best mode of baptism. Not because I'm a Mennonite. I just really believe when you study what baptismo really means, that's the best mode. Now, we actually practice immersion or pouring. We usually give people the option, and I'm probably getting all kinds of trouble here now, wandering down this rabbit trail. But in fact, three of my five kids, when we baptize them, and we offer this to people too, we say, if you want both. And so we'll go out into the lake and we'll pour, illustrating the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you're not saved apart from the Holy Spirit. Those that you have to eat, kind of. Yeah. So, you know, what I'm saying is that different people are going to read different passages and they're going to interpret it in a little bit of a different way, and that's the way it is with baptism. So, let's call hot father. Oh, let's be flexible, let's be open. Whatever, what I want, right? That's not focused on. We're focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think there's better interpretation. If we're going to interpret Scripture, let's do a good job. But let's not focus on interpretation. Farther out from that, you get to the area of deduction. Okay, so if I read the black and white words of Scripture and I say, this is what it means, then the next thing I'm going to do is answer the question of, what do I do with what it means? Oh, affect the way I live. Okay? So then I begin to apply God's word. That's deduction. Okay? And so for me, that means not owning a television. Okay? I just don't have time, or there's just stuff there that's an application. I'm not worshiping that. And if you have a television, that's fine, and you can maybe handle it better than I can. Sometimes I actually go on the internet and I watch Fox News, the clips of Fox News, and that's my television. You know, so
that's simply an application. See, the farther out you get, the less you want to focus on that. We're focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We're riveted on Him. Opinion is way out there. I mean, if you're going to have an opinion, have a good opinion, have an informed opinion, you know, but it's way out there. What do you think of President Biden? Right? I mean, have a good one. What do you think of, you know, having musical instruments in church or whatever, you know? Now, have an opinion, have an informed, but don't focus on your opinion. Because the more you focus on these peripherals, the more church problems. And especially the kind of church problems that you can't resolve. It gets down to preferences and tradition and family history. So keep your eyes focused on Jesus. I don't know if this is working. Is it? Where are we time-wise? I've been speaking, it's not been 3 hours. It's been 30 minutes yet. Can anybody guide me? Do we have time for the balance here yet? Okay. Keeping it all together. Or, as I like to say, embracing all of it. Oh, you know, let's work our way through. I'm sorry, there's so much here that I spoke quickly. These scripture references are powerful. 1 Corinthians 3:11, 1 Corinthians 3:11, who can quote that? If you're a good Mennonite, you should know that verse. And I know Simon's favorite verse. No, I can't remember it. Something about the Bible being the on this rock I will build my church. I think. And then 2 Corinthians 11:3 is the inverse reference. 1 Corinthians 3:11, 2 Corinthians 11:3. That's where Paul talks about how I have housed you to one bride, and I am concerned that you head away. Married, imagine what it'd be like to marry somebody and then suddenly you tell that person kind of finding all kinds of reasons and excuses not to be around you and so forth. That's what Paul was considered concerned about with. I married you to Christ, please hang tight with Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Pilate asked the wrong question. He said to Jesus, what is truth? He should have asked. He asked the wrong question, the wrong answer. Conservative. A good definition of a conservative is sticking close to Scripture. There are right-wing liberals and there are left-wing liberals. Both are ditches you want to stay out of. Keep your focus on Jesus. The Anabaptists, speaking of Anabaptists, Peter Hoover in his book, The Secret of the Strength, points this out, that the early Anabaptists believe in the two words, inner word, the outer word. And they believe the inner word, the Jesus, and the outer word was the Bible. Okay, and then here's what it says. Peter Hoover quotes it straight from the, many have read his book. If you haven't, read it. He says, the early Anabaptists believed that the only value of the outer word, in other words, only value of the Bible, was in its ability to lead them to the inner word. When I first read that, I thought, how overstating it, isn't it? The more I've pondered that and prayed about that over the years, I believe it. What good is it? You memorize. You have all of these principles down pat, child training, finance, exactly what baptism is. All of this stuff. You have that right down. You have never met Jesus. fact, it may stand in your way. Because you know all this, got it all figured out. Got all of the systematic theology down. You don't know. You think, I've gone to destroy your life. I agree with the early answer. Only value is in. Now, of course, you've been led to Jesus, then all of the other stuff makes tremendous value. Wrong focus on Christ in the periphery. Cannot major on my minor. Now, I love this little quote from a little book, The School of Christ in Justin Park, where he says, problems in the Christian church experience are always corrected by a fresh revelation. Our perfect church in Los Angeles is going through struggle and strain. I need to remember problems, church experience are always corrected by a fresh revelation. Okay, let's get next slide. Yeah, and this just illustrates here some of the need to balance. Let's go quickly to the next slide and we'll work through some of these notes. And there is a page on the back. I'm going to go to the next slide. Dialectical nature of truth, almost paradoxical. There's tension with God's word, with God's truth. Our Bible is basically a Hebrew book. The Hebrew mind always expressed truth opposite by saying seemingly opposite truth. Final truth then is holding both truths together in balance, not neglecting one, so or we can phrase this, holding them together. And it involves tension. By doing so, each truth does not detract from the other, but it adds value or adds weight to its meaning. Our problem then as Bible students today is that we do not have Hebrew mind. We have American mind. We're Westerners. We're linear in our thinking. Whereas we major in logic. A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? Right? This is true and that's true, then that is also true. And what does the bottom say? We embrace each one truth at a time. We embrace one truth at a time. That's kind of the American mindset. Whereas the Hebrew mind was willing to live with they could experience two seemingly opposite truths and hold them together in balance. Whereas we try to make harmony out of apparent contradiction by stressing either one side or the other. All too often, what the Bible name, we pick and choose what sounds the most logical. We emphasize that. But we will never be able to understand real Bible truth until we are willing to adopt the Hebrew mindset, manner of thought, holding truth together intentionally. If you look at all of the Bible, is centered around the Hebrew. Obviously, the Old Testament was written originally, the original language was Hebrew, but even the New Testament was written by Hebrew people, Hebrew writers. It was written in Aramaic, Greek, but they were written by Hebrew people. So this is a fundamental concept. If we're going to understand the Bible, we have to. An error has always crept into the church when we have refused to hold paradoxical truths together balanced. All of the earliest errors of the church stem from this problem. See the root meaning of the word heresy, and this is very insightful, and I got this out of a book by James Callis about Paul. It was a book, was the title, but it was basically looking like Paul. Heresy does not mean untruth, but it means half-truth. In other words, truth taken in isolation, cut away from counter-truth, balancing truth. That's heresy. That's the true meaning of heresy. So, if I say on the one hand, God is sovereign, that sounds like a truth, right? But if that's all I say, and I don't also say, man is responsible, I have spoken heresy. Or if I say, man is responsible, we need to choose to follow God, and that's all I say, and I don't also say, God is sovereign, I've just spoken heresy. We have to break all of seemingly contradictory, because they're both true, and they produce some tension when you embrace them both. Yeah, a Roman is an example. Romans 1, 18 and 25 talks about those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They were holding the truth. They'd gotten a hold of a truth, and they were holding onto that truth like a dog on a bone. But they were holding it in unrighteousness, unequally. And they, because of that, they changed the truth of God into a lie. 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that means to make a straight cut, to dissect correctly. Is that when we read the Bible, especially when we teach the word, carefully, rightly divide the word of truth. These are not opposite. So many times they seem that way. Okay, so here's an illustration. I already talked about. God is sovereign, man is responsible. We have the book of Galatians, which is salvation by grace, not by work. By grace, God's work in us. And we also, this is the book of the Bible. We also have to embrace the book of James, which says, show me your faith without your work, and I will show you my faith by my work. So, I have embraced both of those Bible books. Believers are under grace, saved by grace. Unbelievers are under the law. We're looking at, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, God is going to judge you by His law. But in Christ, that's it. Master to bring us to Christ, because we can't do it. We, like was indicated, we just need this new heart. The only one that can give us a new heart. So the basis of Jesus, so we can get this new heart. Wait. Faith on the one hand, works on the other. We like this one. Premillennialism on the one hand, amillennialism on the other. What are you here? You must be here in Pennsylvania. Premillennial. You know, one thing I loved about Maranatha Bible School, where I graduated from years ago, one year they'd bring in a prophet teacher who taught premillennialism, the next year they'd bring in a prophet who would teach amillennialism. One year they'd bring in Richard Herr from back here someplace, he'd teach premillennialism, the next year they'd bring in Leighton Martin from Ontario, and he'd teach amillennialism. And both of them would have stacks of scripture this high. And it all made sense. And he would have text of scripture, maybe different. And both men of God submitted to God's word. So embrace it all, and there's going to be some tension. Let's not argue over the tension. Let's just say, And I believe that's where so much heresy comes in, is when we try to force definition. We don't understand. If we read something in the Bible and we don't understand it, the thing is not fully in. But step back. Step back in humility. Say, you know, I don't quite understand. Now God knows. sometimes when I look at liberalism nowadays, I think their view of God is that God is some old man upstairs with Alzheimer's that doesn't know what he's doing. That's not who God is. God knows who he is. He knows what he said, and he means what he says, and it makes sense. But the problem is us. We're just weak, limited mortals. So the humble, let's be honest. Number one, not pretend like we have all the answers. Let's be humble. Just step back. How do you think? What's your view of this game, right? So, Jason,
yeah.
You know, and let's learn from each other. Let's hear each other. Let's honesty and carry one another's burden. Oh, evangelism. Well, separation from the world. No. Come out from among them, be separate. Then Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Somehow we need to do both. Love, truth, evangelism. We love to evangelize. We also need to disciple them up. Churches are often good at one, but not so good at the other. Mennonites are fairly good at discipleship, not so good at evangelism. Other denominations, Baptists, pretty good at preaching the gospel and getting people saved. Then when it comes to discipling them, they're a little weak. Both. Carry one another's burden. Then just a few verses later, it says, let every man bear his own burden. What's that mean? God has Alzheimer's? No, he doesn't know what he's... No. Both. What time? Probably time for wrap up. I think we need to embrace all of Scripture. Hopefully these three crucial concepts help you, will help you. Has helped us. We're not. Pray, God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for this body of believers, this bride, Christ, bride, bride. Oh, Lord, that's how you want us to be as your bride. You want us to get. You want soul to look at your bride, people to look at your bride. I want to be married to you. Lord, I pray your special anointing on the way of Jesus here and also the school for the membership here, Dale and others, leadership. Who you are, what you're doing here. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and make you peace. The Lord be gracious to you. And